Hi, Randy. I'm calling in about making an intentional decision. I've been furloughed from my job based on the shutdown, and so I've been doing a medical transport job in the interim. People are actually receiving Christ in my car. I play Family Life Radio and drive around taking people to medical appointments. And I'm praying about my future and my career, and I do want to go back to the job, hope that it comes back. So I'm just looking for insight and maybe some wisdom as I wait for my job to come back. Thank you.
You know, I don't know what your job is you're waiting for, but certainly the one you have right now seems to be a beautiful place to use God's gifts, touching the life of people at the point of greatest need, sharing the gospel and what's going on in your life and seeing lives being changed. What better job can there be? Now, the reality is it may be that there's some financial needs and other things going on in your life, and it's a reminder that wherever we are, we can live our lives. As the scripture says, when we work, remember we don't work for men as much as we do for God, and that's the key. Hey, I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, not only about work decisions today, but decisions in general, because the reality is decisions that you make will impact the quality of your life and the direction of your life, either by the decisions you make that you act on or the decisions you make and you don't act on, which we call good intentions. In the process, it can leave you kind of empty. At the same time, really preparing how to make a good decision. How do you make a good decision? Does it involve prayer? Certainly. How does it involve other people? Your spouse, people that you love, respect for people who are maybe smarter, faster, and quicker, and down the road a little bit further. And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have a comment on this topic of decisions, share with us the best you made and maybe the worst, and how you make your decisions. You can share it on our storyline at 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. Hey, and a quick reminder that the tickets are going fast for the Night of Hope coming to Glendale, Arizona, the Phoenix area, Haven Church, June the 6th. We're going to have a great night. Jordan St. Cyr is going to be with me, and we're going to have a night of just praising God and learning what does it mean to live intentionally. So check it out at theintentionallife.com.
When I face a big decision, how do I discern God's will? It's usually a matter of a lot of prayer, a lot of quiet time, a lot of waiting, a lot of patience, and you just keep working and working and just keep waiting on Him and leaning on Him.
I first pray about where God wants me to be. Is this decision going to matter 30 years from now? Is it going to make a difference in eternity? Or is it just pleasing me? Is it what I want, or is it what God wants?
When I'm making a decision on how to proceed, I do a lot of serious praying, contemplation, and some quiet time, and some waiting usually. My husband and I are in the process of a business consideration right now, and even though we take the time to pray and to wait and to be silent, just knowing how to discern His will can still be difficult, even after doing all of that.
When I make decisions that are important to me, I think the first thing I do is that I get with my wife and we pray together, because I believe her discernment and getting a confirmation from her is a big thing on me understanding what God wants to do. And then I talk to other people with wisdom that I have a lot of faith in, and it's just understanding that through the doors that He opens that we need to step through and make those decisions.
Yeah, wow, that's great. Thank you. This is very encouraging. What's kind of the dumbest decision? Stupid things that Christians do. That's what we could call this program as well. Stupid things that Christians do. And we ask you on our Facebook, what's the dumbest decision you've ever made? Here's just a few of them. Sanja said, one, overcommitting to a relationship without taking the time to know the other person. Well, you know where that's headed, don't you? Betty says, leaving my children's dad for someone else was the worst mistake of my life, with 4 exclamation points. Amber simply says, you asked the question, what's the dumbest decision you ever made? Her answer, that would be a long list. Elizabeth says, trusting the wrong people. Mike says, I started drinking. By the way, that showed up again, drinking and driving. Sean says, drinking and driving, hands down, worst decision. Wow. There's others we'll try to get to here. Come join us, 888-888-1717. Maybe a decision you're trying to make right now. Let's go to Michael. Michael, welcome to Intentional Living Center today.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's the decision you're trying to make?
Well, my wife and I kind of had a plan of, after 3 years of being married, we'd start having kids, and we moved to Tucson to help with a church plant because we feel called to go on the mission field. And she wanted to do medical missions before we got married. And so we're kind of at the crossroads. She didn't finish school because of us moving out to Tucson, so she's trying to go back to school.
Right.
And so we don't know if she should just go ahead and graduate right now because she has enough credits to get a general education degree, or if she should continue going to school for a medical-related position. And we also want to homeschool our kids, so then that's kind of a problem. And then we don't know if I should finish out and get a bachelor's degree in ministry.
Yeah, how old are you guys, Michael?
I will be turning 30 in about a week, and she is 24.
All right. Well, you start thinking about this stuff. The 30s is a decade. I do a series teaching on the decades of life, and the 30s is kind of what you guys are getting into. It's a decade of decisions. It's a decade of sort of setting the course for your life. And so you're asking the right questions. I would encourage the two of you to, because you have so many things you're talking about, having kids, homeschooling kids, going to the mission field. She's talking about doing medical missions, but she's not trained to do that now. And then you said you're trying to decide what's the decision you're trying to make?
Whether or not I should just go ahead and go back to school for a ministry degree, because I've been told it's a benefit, but at the same time, I've also been told that with my experience and testimony and all that stuff, that I don't need it, that I can go ahead and, after I get ordained, go to the mission field.
Well, you know, I'm an advocate of people being well-prepared before they step into whatever it is they're going to do. I think you can I think some people just love to go to school and love to train, and they love to absorb knowledge, and they get caught up in schooling. and there are people listening saying, don't do it. You know, you get in debt, and then you'll be paying off debt, and you can't go to the mission field. So you have to use wisdom. But if God's calling you to go to the mission field to do medical missions, your wife's got to be trained to do medical missions. She can't do it unless she's trained, right?
And if we went to a third world country, she could still homeschool our kids and do the work. But if we went to, a developed country, it would be kind of hard to do both of those at the same time. So that's also the problem.
Have you guys ever experienced mission work outside the country?
Yeah.
International ministry?
She has. I haven't. But she's gone to Dominican Republic, Haiti, Brazil, places like that.
All right. If I were your dad, and I'm old enough to be, I would sit down with you guys and I would say, look, you guys are still young. You're in your 20s, just turning 30. This is a preparatory decade. Now you're moving into a decision decade. You want God's best for your life. You're really trying to make some important decisions. If it takes another year or two to get well prepared so you're ready to step into whatever it is that God calls you to, then that would be worth the investment. Here's what I would do if I were you guys. I would find some people who have been where you have been praying about going. I would find some missionaries, maybe those who've come back from the field or those there now and coming back on sabbatical or for a period of time, and that you could get with them and let them mentor you. Let them talk to you about what it means to be in medical missions. What does it mean? What does it take to be prepared? What are things they have learned in their 50s or 60s, looking back, that they would do different? I think one of the major problems we have in our culture today, Michael, especially with the younger generation, and God bless all the millennials listening today. We love you guys. But you're talking to each other. And I think there's a lot of people who may not be technologically as savvy as you are, and you may think they're out of touch with the world today, but they have been where you're wanting to go. They understand about life. They understand about, they've learned some lessons. Now, be careful. You can't trust everyone. Just because a person has white hair, you don't trust them. Just because a person's old doesn't mean you listen to them, right? But find some people of wisdom in your church, in your community, and immerse yourself in getting some good counsel, and then praying about it, praying it together, and then putting a plan together, and then acting on it. One of the things I find, Michael, is that people sometimes procrastinate because of fear. You know, they kind of know what they should do or what they're called to do, but they don't act out of fear. And there's a lot of things that happen when you have fear. You can come up with a dozen reasons why I'm not going to decide. And the fact is, indecision is also a decision. So that's my take on where you guys are. I encourage you to find some people who are where you're thinking about and talk to them.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
All right, my friend. We'll be praying for you. Not sure he totally agrees, but I think that's, you know, you got to talk. I think you learn. There's wisdom in many counselors, the Bible says. Okay, April, welcome to the program. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Appreciate your call. What's your question or decision?
My question is, I'm recently a new believer.
Uh-huh.
And me and my boyfriend, we have three kids together. So we're not married. And he believes in God, but he doesn't believe in Christ. And he's on dialysis, and he needs a kidney.
Oh, wow.
So it's just been really hard and heavy on my heart with his sickness and our three kids, and that I feel kind of stuck in our situation. I've tried to do Bible studies with him, with my friends, and he'll go, but he's not really present, and I'm really struggling with it. I just, you know, some people say you're not equally yoked, and it's just, I don't know where to turn. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do.
Well, April, listen. The good news is God is a God of love and a God of compassion. He's a God of forgiveness. It says in Scripture he's not the author of confusion. So as you feel confused, that's not coming from God. That's certainly Satan speaking to your life. Yeah, do you have some issues? Yeah. Are they real? Yes. Do they go away because you become a Christian? No. It's because you say, Lord, come into my heart. I love you. Save me. I want to go to heaven. He saves you. You turn around. You still have all the challenges in front of you. But you now have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life as you face these challenges. You have a new spiritual growing wisdom that will lead you to make the right decisions. I hear it in your voice, that spiritual sensitivity of wanting to do the next right thing. I mean, that's, to me, that's sort of evidence of a person's spiritual growth when they care enough, April, as you do, to have tears to say, I feel stuck. I don't know what to do. I want to do the right thing. All right? So let me just kind of unpack this a little bit for you, April. I think you start where you are in terms of saying, okay, I've got all of these issues. Living with my boyfriend. He's on dialysis. We have three children together. You're a new believer. He's interested, but not really interested in following Christ. And so I would encourage you, the very first thing that I would encourage you to do is for you to get plugged into a church.
Mm-hmm.
You get plugged in with some mature Christian women, pastor's wife and some other women, that you get into some counseling where you can be guided spiritually week by week, day by day. You're not, your job right now is not to be the Holy Spirit for your husband or for your boyfriend. Your job right now is to start living that intentional life in Christ in ways that will honor Christ and honor the decisions that you've made in ways that don't violate your walk with Christ. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I did get into a church, and I am new, and I went to talk to one of the pastors. And he was really upset with our situation because we were not married. And it threw me off because he just said, you know, I need to leave him now. I need to move, like, out of state. I need to take the kids. And it just, like, I don't know, messed with my head a lot because I was like, well, that's a whole lot to do just because I need to understand we're not married and that's not honoring God.
Mm-hmm.
I just...
But see, April, you know, I don't want to get crosswise with the pastor that you're seeing, but it may be that you need to talk to some other counselors. Not every counselor and every pastor, God bless you, pastors, are created equal when it comes to giving guidance and direction. And I hear the pastor's heart. You're a Christian. You want to live in honor. You want to honor Christ. But you have responsibility. That doesn't mean you live with the man in married, having sex and all the things that you know would dishonor him. You're not married. If that's your conviction, and rightfully so, in my view. But that doesn't mean you have responsibility. You got three kids. You've got this man that's on dialysis. You've got his spiritual soul. You've got your own life in terms of living with Christ. You got to sort this out. Now, you're going to get different counsel from different people, undoubtedly. That's why I'm saying I think you need to get plugged into some really godly spiritual women who can guide you, some Christian women, pastors' wives, some real people who are going to be sensitive to the reality of what you're facing, or a really godly Christian counselor who can help guide you. But April, don't jump from the frying pan into the fire, you know? What I'm excited for you, and I'm going to pray with you in a moment, what I'm excited for you is your spirit of wanting to honor Christ. God hears that. He knows your heart. And if you went to your boyfriend and said, look, as a new believer, being married is important to me. Now, I don't know if you're going to get married or not. I mean, if he wants to marry or not. But marriage is something sacred to you. And if he understands that, if that's something where you can begin with him in terms of the other issues of dialysis and our kids and all of that, that's an issue you can deal with. But this thing of saying, look, marriage is important. I'll tell you, there's people come down on different sides on this, April. You're going to know this. But you really need to pray and seek God and make the decision that you really feel God's leading you. But you need some good counsel to do it. Mm. Father, I do pray for April, this young woman. She feels stuck. And we know that you're not the author of confusion. Give her wisdom to make the right decision, that she can live in purity, that she can live in purity in her heart and soul, not violate that commitment to you, and also recognize that she has responsibility and consequences from decisions that have made in the past, frankly, that you'll help her walk this very difficult process, first of all, looking to you as the author and the finisher of her faith. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, April, for calling, and I would really encourage you to continue to seek the counsel of some wise people that can help you. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So much. I'm so sorry you're there, but that's the way the world unfortunately is facing today. Mm. All right, we'll be back. More on decision making and more from the Facebook on the dumbest decision. Stupidest decision you ever made. We'll hear some more.
Just announced, Family Life Radio's Night of Hope with Dr. Randy Carlson and inspiring music by Jordan St. Cyr.
You've walked me through fire.
Dr. Randy will share practical steps and timeless wisdom to help you face life's challenges with confidence. Friday, June 6th at Haven Church in Glendale.
When I needed rain.
Sponsored in part by Compassion International. Tickets available at theintentionallife.com.
Hey, the Night of Hope's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to laugh. We're going to learn together. This is really a first for us. You know, we've had conferences where I've spoken, sold out around the country, and we've had concert with artists that we play on the radio, and we're bringing the two together. Jordan St. Cyr is going to be joining me. He's going to be bringing music of hope to you. It'll be a great evening of being reminded of the hope we have in Christ. We're going to worship together and just experience that in music. And then I get a chance to share some words of life, specifically what are six things that you and I can do to be intentional in our life, in particular in our relationships, our marriage, and our family, that will make an absolutely huge difference. It's coming to Glendale, Arizona, and that's going to be on the 6th. Of June at the Haven Church. We have limited seating available, so I encourage you to get your tickets today. We're looking forward to seeing you. Go to theintentionallife.com, get the tickets. That's theintentionallife.com, and you'll find all the information there. We'll look forward to seeing you in a few weeks.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
Thank you, Kurt. I was just thinking of the last caller. We got to be so careful when we talk to people in terms of, you say, hey, you need to do this, you need to do this, and do the next thing. People want to know that. Let's face it, people call because they want, tell me what to do and I'll go do it. But you got to be convicted in your heart to understand why you do what you do, because decisions that are made because of someone else telling you to make a decision usually don't stick. They've got to be coming from your heart. I would say, because I don't know all the details of her situation, that when you're in a complex situation where you've got issues, you keep coming back to what are the biblical principles of God's forgiveness, His love. In her case, to say, listen, you know, I've got responsibility for this man, I got responsibility for these kids, but that doesn't mean we have to, quote, live together. We don't have to be living as though we're married. We don't have to be having sex and whatever else. I mean, I can honor myself and my decision and still honor the consequences or decisions that I've made. I don't think those are mutually exclusive. Sometimes we get so caught in a box, it's either all this or all that, instead of saying, hey, maybe because of the complexity of this, I've got to walk a difficult process. And I'll tell you one thing, though, if you're walking in that kind of a situation that we just had, you need to have some mentors alongside of you who can help hold you accountable and love you through the process. Yeah. Okay, quickly, I'm running out of time, but I wanted to get Todd on from California. Welcome, Todd.
Good morning.
Good morning. Appreciate your call. What's the decision you made or making?
I made a decision to take a plea. I was charged with some federal crimes, white collar, and I took a plea, and the other men that were involved didn't take the plea.
Hmm.
And I took the plea just based on numbers. It wasn't because I felt I was guilty. It was because the overwhelming of going to trial, if I lose, would have been, you know, significant. And so I felt that just take a plea and get along to go along. And then the other men decided that they were going to take it to trial, so it's going to trial anyway. Yeah. And now I'm being asked to lie by the prosecutor, or at least not tell the truth. And I have to make a decision if I'm going to withdraw my plea or not.
Wow.
And that could be a consequence for me. But the Lord really is directing me, really. Even with your program, I heard you say the numbers, and I just spoke to me. And I've never called a radio show before in my life, and I just felt compelled to call you and share that with you and that decision that I have to make.
Well, Todd, it's obviously a very difficult one, big one. It's your life and consequences that maybe even not aware of today. And we'll be praying that you make a decision. The decision that honors God. You know, like I said earlier, sometimes the decisions are real clear, this or that. You know, you don't have to think about it. But then there's these other ones. You got to really understand and discern the Holy Spirit and what God's teaching you. So, Todd, we'll be praying for you. We'll add you to the list, and we'll pray as you make this decision that God will go before you. And whatever the consequences, whatever comes of it, that He'll get the glory for it.
Couple of things that keep sticking in my mind are to be intentional and to tell yourself the truth.
Through your intentional living program, I just turned everything over to the Lord and realizing that we have a choice in how we deal with these things.
I would intentionally do every day what God is asking me to do. I just pray, and I'm learning to reorganize my finances. I'm being obedient. You really had an impact on me as far as doing things intentionally and thinking about what you're doing.
Hey, here's a question for you. When you hear these stories, why is it that intentional living works? I mean, it's not because I had a brilliant idea. It's not because this radio show exists. It's because intentional living is the way God has created you and me to live. And I can prove it. We know that God is intentional. There's nothing about Him and His existence as far as from whenever time began, He was there and our brief time in history, how he moves in our life. There's nothing random or chaotic. God has a plan, and we're told in Scripture that we are created in His image. Therefore, the reason intentional living works is because God ordained it to work.
Well, there's also not only opportunity, but in our lives we have moments of challenge when maybe there's a threat to our marriage or a threat to our health or any sort of a challenge that we face. And at that moment, we have to make a decision of what we're going to do. And I think of Joseph in the Bible, where Joseph had a challenge. What was he going to do with his purity when he was challenged with Potiphar's wife? That was a defining moment in that young man's life. That was a moment that would define the course of the years ahead for him. And of course, he chose right, and we see the example in Scripture. But if you read the book of Genesis to Revelation, what it is a series of defining moments.
You know, it's an excerpt from the featured lesson this month, Defining Moments, and sometimes I refer to them as aha moments, which is really just sort of an awakening. You know, you have something going on in your life. Maybe you're reading Scripture, talking to a friend, reading a book. I don't know, but it's like the Holy Spirit kind of speaks to you internally, and you get, oh, wow, an aha moment where there's some new insight that can impact the direction of your life and the decisions you make. I'd rather have those than the other kind, the oh no moments. Those too can be defining. When all of a sudden your spouse walks out the door and you realize that maybe you helped contribute to that problem, or you didn't, but it's still a defining moment. Or you've lost a job, or you get the diagnosis of cancer and you didn't see that coming. These are defining moments. And what you do and what I do at these moments that are defining in our life will make all the difference. You know, we've spent this 28 minutes talking about making decisions. You've heard some stories along the way. I guess I would ask you this question. What's a decision you need to make right now? When you think of your life today, what one thing would you like to be different than it is today? And then ask yourself, is that something that will bring glory to God if that were to be different? And benefit to yourself and to those that you love, your family and your associates and so on. That's a really profound question. What thing do you want to be different? And that's really what intentional living is all about, helping you figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. Hey, listen, maybe you feel a little overwhelmed when it comes to making a decision in your family, some issue you're struggling with. At our upcoming Night of Hope, we're going to get into that, and we're going to help you really figure that out. It's going to be a great evening. We've been talking about it for a few days, and tickets are going fast, so check it out. Go to theintentionallife.com. I got to run. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living. It's a ministry of Intentional Life Media.